Please do not attempt to adjust your computers or your MP3 players. You are listening to The Fiends. Where science is stranger than fiction.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Phoenix Podcast, episode 4, The Avalon Oracle. In this podcast, I investigate what's considered the paranormal, specifically psychic readings. I was able to sit down with Melissa, who is the owner of the Avalon Oracle. What she does is she helps people learn more about themselves by utilizing a system similar to tarot cards called Oracle cards. You can find her website at avalonoracle.com. And if you check out my blog, you'll find her web address on there as well. Melissa does readings for individuals, parties, and can do them online as well. And she was a very interesting person, and she agreed to meet with me, even though I was a complete stranger, calling her out of the blue. I had found her in some psychic directory online, and she was quite surprised to hear from me. And I told her that I was a blogger that also had a podcast, and that I was interested in meeting with her and interviewing her and learning more about what she does for her clients. And I found our time together quite interesting, extraordinary, and definitely an eye-opening experience. So stay tuned. Episode 4 is on the way. Now, those of you who read my blog on a regular basis know that I am very skeptical, and it takes a lot to convince me, and it takes even more to impress me. And Melissa was great from the very beginning. I could tell she was a very friendly person by nature and was a great sport about everything. Now, she doesn't consider herself a psychic, actually. She relies more on just pure intuition, and she believes that all of us have that same intuition, just some of us listen to it more often than others. What she wants to do is to take the mysticism out of her work and make it seem less like magic and make it seem more everyday and personal, so that we all have the capacity to help ourselves. Like I said before, Melissa uses what's called oracle cards, similar to tarot cards, but quite different in a number of ways. Here, she explains to me the process she goes through when giving a reading and gives us a little bit of insight as to how it's done.
In your own words, explain sort of what you do, what the process is, and you know, a little bit about the oracle cards, what people can expect when they have a reading.
I think I'll start with what people expect during a reading. And a tarot card, people consider or hope that they would tell their future, or when will I find my soulmate, or how many children will I have, those kinds of questions. And an oracle doesn't attempt to do that necessarily, because those are dependent on you. The thought is that those are dependent on how you are, what you act. So I can't tell you that you're going to meet, you know, the woman of your dreams in 5 years, because what if you never leave the house?
Right, right.
You know, that's dependent on you.
So you are not a fortune teller?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And I don't think that serves anybody well. I don't think that you walk away from that and actually gain any hope, insight. I've had a friend who, a psychic, told her she was going to buy shoes in the near future, and she was like, I imagine that I will.
You will put on underwear.
And I think there's a lot of showmanship involved with those kinds of things. And that's not, I'm not trying to diss anybody who does tarot, because there are fantastic people out there. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, smoke and lights. And
yeah.
And I think all of that instills some sort of false hope. And I don't think an oracle card does that. An oracle card, whether you like it or not, peers into you right now in the present. And so you may, and you don't, I don't need to know your question. You need to know what you're thinking about. It's not, I don't feed off of anybody either.
So no cold reading, or they call them cold readings, or
no,
whatever.
No, I don't want you, I don't need your birth date. I don't need to know your history. I don't, nothing.
Okay.
Your history and your information is private, and it's important to you.
Okay.
For someone else to know that, skews things. It's harder for me to read a family member than it is a stranger.
Yeah, I hear about that. Because you have your own sort of beliefs.
Absolutely. If I start thinking this is about your relationship, but it's about your job.
Right.
That isn't doing anybody any good. So they bring to the forefront things that you should be paying attention to at this moment.
Okay.
And that may affect, you know, like if your question is, when will I find my soulmate? That affects that. You know, that may affect, you know, it'll tell you, you need to get out,
okay.
You know, or you need to talk to the person next door. You need to do something more than what you're doing, or you know, you're out way too much, you need to go home.
Okay.
You know, those kinds of things come to the forefront.
In this part, Melissa goes into more detail about how she uses the Oracle cards. She had them on the table there in the park, and I have to tell you, my first impression when she brought these out was that these cards were really true works of art.
The artist is Brian Froud. I use the Fairies Oracle, and whatever card or deck you use is personal. It's just up to you. They're mass-produced cards.
Mm-hmm.
There's no special power, you know, stuck in the cards for any reason. It's paper and ink. But it's what works with your brain. You know, it has to do with what you think works with your brain. And this card may not work at all with you, and another card will.
Mm-hmm.
The artist is Brian Froud. He's actually the artist who made the puppets for the movies like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and those 80s movies.
I love the Dark Crystal.
That's the guy.
Jim Henson, right?
Jim Henson is the director, but this is the guy who designed and made all the puppets.
Lots of nudity for all you perverts out there.
There is a lot of nudity. There is a lot of nudity. You bring more to this than a card does.
So there really isn't any sort of standard procedure or rules?
No.
Okay.
And that's another thing. If someone's used to reading tarot, there are ways to put the cards down. There are, you know, certain ways that you do things. No one else ever really touched your cards in general. And
mm-hmm.
and no, it's much more intuitive and fly by night. And I think the thing that, and I think you could probably see these, you know. Oh, this is front and back. But if you look at this card, you know, what comes into your head right now, the next time you pick it up will be some other aspect of that card.
Really?
So, like, you know, right now this face is sticking out to me, but next time it might be that one, and that's a different look than this. You know what I mean?
Right.
One has a frown, one has a smile, you know, one kind of looks creepy.
This one kind of looks like Yoda.
I found Melissa's background quite interesting. It seems her mother reads palms. And she has been doing that for a number of years and does it sort of as a hobby and for fun at parties. Melissa grew up quite skeptical of the practice, to be honest, and she really wasn't into the palm reading thing. However, she was very interested in all kinds of art, and particularly fantasy art. And so her mother had bought these oracle cards by a certain artist that Melissa was a big fan of. And thus began her journey into the world of oracle reading. And here, Melissa explains how the cards can often have different meanings for different people.
So really, the cards, they aren't static either in your mind. I mean,
absolutely not.
You pick it, when you look at it one in one moment, you see one thing, and then for another person, the card might, you know, say something else to you.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And combinations of cards starts making, you know, the first card, you're like, okay, you know, this is what I'm getting, but I need, you know, you might need a little more to jog it. Sometimes one card's like, bam, you know,
okay.
I've got you pegged.
Right.
But I think it has more to do with jogging your intuition than, you know, than anything else.
Okay.
I think it has, because you pick up on something, that's from you.
Here, Melissa begins the actual reading, and throughout, especially the beginning of the process, she doesn't even touch the oracle cards. I begin to shuffle them, and something very interesting happens as I do this.
I hand them straight up over to you.
Okay.
Because my influence is not important. What's important is your influence. So you shuffle them any way you like, for as long as you like. You can throw them in a pile, I mean, whatever you need to do to them. Shuffle them to your heart's content.
Okay, I am shuffling the cards. I don't want to bend them.
You won't hurt them. They're pretty sturdy.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are pretty thick stock here.
They are. And they're a little oversized, and they're not casino-type cards either. They're about double the size of those.
Just almost done.
Let me switch that one over.
Oh. Didn't even know that was...
That's okay. It's the one...
It's kind of windy out here, and one of the cards just flew
out. Okay.
It was the Friends one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So no lottery numbers? Probably not.
Probably not. Probably I can't guarantee you're not going to get something special, but no. Nope, you keep them.
Oh, I keep them.
You keep them.
Okay, I keep them.
Now, you draw anywhere between 1 to 9 cards. Over 9, it kind of get a little convoluted, and so it's less pointed and direct. But pick anywhere, and pick them out from anywhere you want, top of the deck, bottom of the deck, middle, whatever you like to do is totally fine. You'll find the card you need.
So this gust of wind blows one of my cards out of the deck and onto the grass, and Melissa even had to get up from her seat to retrieve it. I noticed that the Oracle card that had flown out was called The Friends, and it was a funny little card. It had a really thin, skinny-looking elf guy flying around, and in one hand, he was carrying this porcupine elf thing with wings. I noticed it just because it was kind of strange looking. I didn't know it then, but the Friends card was going to play a significant role in my reading.
Boy, okay, so 7 is my number, my lucky number, so I have 7
now
cards.
You put them in any sort of fashion you think they should be in. And see, it just sort of comes, you know, generally just comes to people, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy or special.
All right, so I'm putting 4 on top and then 3 at the bottom.
My next question is, which way is right side up?
Which way is right side up?
So if I flip a card over, is it upside down to you or is it upside down to me? And upside down doesn't have the same sort of significance necessarily as tarot.
So right side up would be this way right here?
So when a figure's facing you, that's right side up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Figure facing me will be right side up.
Mm-hmm.
Look me in the face.
There you go.
Okay. Right here. Moving the microphone.
I don't want to knock it over with my hand.
Okay.
Because I will. Okay.
All right.
Do you have a sense of where you think this starts? What's the first card to you?
The first card for me would probably be the ones on the outside, probably here.
Okay. So if you noticed already, I haven't done anything.
You haven't touched a thing. It's just been me. Yeah, that's right.
It's all you. And that's unusual. You aren't going to get that in a tarot reading.
Right. You just pretty much sit there and let the tarot reader do everything.
Right. And it's just a different thing.
Okay.
And it's not that it's a better or worse thing. It's just a different thing. It depends on what you want to get out of it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to start flipping cards. Okay, the first one that you picked is Tobriah of the Waters. And just take a moment and look at the card.
Okay.
And the first thing I see out of this are her bright wings. Just the brightness of this image is striking anyway. What I see for this is that there's, you know, obviously I know about a little bit about you, but not much. I see a very bright future in a way that you didn't expect. I see a bright future in a way that you just weren't anticipating.
That's good.
See, now here, I'm only going to ask you things like, does that make sense to you? Like, if I get a sense that you're just sitting there, staring, I'll just say, does that make sense to you? It does not ever need to make sense to me.
Yeah, it does make sense to me.
And you don't even have to explain it.
Well,
you can explain to them.
Someone that has claimed to be more intuitive said the exact same thing recently.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm just going to leave that one sit because as we move along, things like that start to shape a little bit better.
Okay.
What you'll get more out of this in the end is usually how to make that sort of thing happen.
Right.
So I see a bright future, and I see it in a way that you just weren't expecting. And I say that because the angle of the wings are just not in line with her at all. Because I'm looking at it from upside down.
Right.
It may make sense in your head that her wings would go that way.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looks, you know, like a weird offshoot.
Interesting. That's fascinating.
So it just depends on how you're looking at it.
Okay.
The second card that Melissa flips begins a theme that is repeated throughout my reading. Very, very weird.
I'm just going to move to the next one. This is called the Laum. The Laum here, see how she's sitting on the sort of this
one? Yeah.
She's at a jumping off point. So I see you being at this point in a jumping off place for this future that you know what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not telling your future because I'm not telling you what that thing is.
Right.
And I'm not going to. It's fine. What I do see here is that she's obviously heavily supported. This is a figure sitting on an old man's sort of head. You know, she's kneeling on his head. And she's completely supported by him. And it doesn't mean it's a male or there's no gender as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to be heavily supported. And I see this being something that, you know, sometimes you're very good at and sometimes it's more of a struggle to learn how to ask for help but then take it and take it to heart. Don't just like on the surface go, okay, thank you for helping me, yeah, or thank you for supporting me, but really being able to lean on somebody in a way that's meaningful, that can be difficult sometimes, and sometimes it's not, sometimes it's easier. For this, it's going to be imperative that you do. Okay. You aren't going to be able to do this on your own. You're going to have to be able to, you know, fully lean on somebody when that time comes, and okay, and that's the only way you're going to be able to move on. That's just the only way it says that you're going to be able to move on to this, okay, this unexpected thing that's going to
She looks
on.
A little bit like Liz Hurley, but anyway.
She does.
My third card sucks atomic donkey balls. It's a terrible, horrible card, and the freaky little gnome that's on it is menacing and terrible. I was really pissed off that this card showed up.
Oh, we got this.
No, not this one. No.
Yeah, it's okay. The thing is, it's okay. It's the Hobia.
It looks like Wolverine. I mean,
it
looks really mean.
He's very mean, and he exposes himself to you.
Oh yeah, he is exposing himself.
I mean, you can't see anything, but his posturing is there.
Oh.
This is simply representing obstacle. You're going to start, and things are going to be fantastic, you know. And as with everything, and I don't think, you know, this is unusual to this situation, of course, but there are going to be obstacles that are going to make you want to stop. There, you know, and this happens now, and I see this being far more internal than external. So I see this being, you know, and I feel like this has happened before, where something small gets turned into something big for you.
Okay.
And so you're the biggest enemy here.
Yeah.
And I see this not being unique to the situation for you at all. I see this being something that's happened before.
I am pretty dramatic at times.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little card, it's a little guy, and he's not doing anything, really. He's just sitting here.
He looks like he's in a kung fu stage. He's going to kick my butt.
He does, and he has spikes on his wrists and, you know, pointed nails.
Yeah.
And he is scary, but he's very small, and he's just sitting here.
Okay.
He's sitting here being threatening, but he's not really the obstacle that he first seems to be.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that, in life in general, this feels very strong, that you need to let little things be little, and when a big something comes along, you'll be ready.
Okay.
But yeah, this feels very strong. Okay. This is upside down to you, and that's okay. This is called The Fairy Who Was Kissed by the Pixies.
Oh,
you can
like
turn
that
around
one
and look at it. It's
pretty.
It is, and it's a fun card because she looks so happy.
It's like an Alice in Wonderland kind of
it is
feel to it.
Absolutely. And she's got, you know, all these little people around her, and she's kissed, and there's a little lion up here.
This is really a beautiful card.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but it's upside down to me.
It's upside down to you, which I think absolutely goes back to the whole idea of allowing support. This is getting bigger as we move along. Allowing support. So the fairy who's kissed by pixies, she's surrounded by all these pixies, and she's in the middle looking extraordinarily happy and just in a place of just divinity almost. This is because she's been kissed by the pixies. She's been supported and loved and, you know, she's allowed herself to be loved. This seems, it's upside down to you, and I'm going to consider that a blocking point for you. That happens for you. This happens. You just don't always take it or see it or accept it wholeheartedly. Like, you might accept a kiss from a child or a kiss from an aunt or, you know, a hug from your wife or whatever it is. But the importance of that doesn't sink in. Extraordinarily important, especially I think being this end card of the first row. You have this huge, you know, this really lovely future, you know, blooming for you. And then you've got all these things that say, you know, you've got to take it when it's given. Because it won't always be given.
Three cards remain. And these three are the ones closest to me in proximity. And this is quite important to the message that is being relayed to me through this reading.
Okay, the Singer of Healing. Now here's where we start getting a little more interesting. You have these support issues, and then you have the Singer of Healing. This means that there is healing to be done. There's old healing to be done. Now I know I could say that for probably anybody,
right,
but it came up for you, and it came up as an important issue for you.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I started with these four,
mm-hmm,
was because these are sort of further away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to work it down into sort of a pyramid.
It does, and you're the apex at this point.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all pointing at me.
It's all pointing at you. It absolutely is.
This is an interesting card because it's more abstract than the others.
It is. There are a handful like that. There aren't very many, but there's a handful. And he calls, I think, all of them singers. No, not all of them. Most of them are called singers. And when he was painting them, he said he just sort of got these images of light. He didn't really get a clear sense of what that looks like, but it's perfect because, you know, what does healing look like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of brightness is, you know, can be considered what healing looks like, or it can be for people.
Right.
And so for you, this is an issue that is recurrent, and it's something that if you want to move forward, this has to be, it has to be a priority at this point in your life. For whatever reason, it's important now, that it's taken care of now. And I think a lot has to do with the issue of support. You know, you're not going to do this alone. You know, whatever the thing is, and I don't need to know. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, that is, and it may just be, the healing may just be allowing people in.
Okay.
So is this making sense to you?
Yeah,
at this point?
Is.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
That's fine. You got quiet, so that's right.
Well,
that's
yeah.
When I ask.
Well, because, I mean, it's hitting.
Okay.
Something really kind of deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're at a point right now that it's time. It's time to deal with it and heal from it.
So the issue of allowing others in and allowing them to help me comes up again. And those that know me know that this is a central personality flaw of mine. With one issue in my life in particular, this issue has been a huge, huge obstacle. The final card comes up, and all of you will recognize this one. Talk about freaky.
That one flew out.
Whoa.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That one.
Friends.
And I wondered if it would come up, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't say anything.
It flew out of the deck. This is the one that
flew out of your hand.
Yeah, I was holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And it flew out of my hands, and it went to the grass, and you had to go and pick it up and put it back in the deck. Yeah, this is the Friends. I even mentioned the Friends. I can go back and listen to it later. This is the Friends card.
This is the Friends. So what this is you have a skinnier figure holding like a ball, like a globe or something in the foot, and in one hand holding up this porcupine-y
thing
with wings, with like a lit up tail. It's interesting. It's an interesting card.
Huh.
Now, I want you to also pay attention to where this is and where you've laid this.
It's right in front of me.
Dead set in front of you in the center of this layout. It's I would consider that important.
Yeah, I would too.
You know?
It's the card literally closest to
you.
To me.
It is. It is. That, you know, this doesn't take someone to be intuitive to notice that that might be something interesting. Support.
Yeah.
Healing, you know, you're your biggest enemy. There's something, you know, you've got a brighter future than what you're expecting, in a way that you're not expecting.
So the issue of allowing others in and allowing them to help me comes up again. And those that know me know that this is a central personality flaw of mine. With one issue in my life in particular, this issue has been a huge, huge obstacle. The final card comes up, and all of you will recognize this one. Talk about freaky.
Oh, that is weird.
I'll let you take that in.
That is strange. This card is called
The Singer of Transfiguration.
The Singer of Transfiguration, and when you guys see the picture, it'll make more sense to you, but it's sort of, it parallels the Singer of Healing on the other side.
On the other side
on,
of the front.
On this row, right in the front. And it's another abstract picture, and it's got this, it's got wings. It reminds me of the phoenix. And that's, the phoenix is sort of a, I guess, an important symbol. There are a few of the readers and the people that know me know why I sort of chose the phoenix as an avatar.
Yeah.
So to speak. There's some significance there.
I think it's fascinating that that's what you pulled.
Yeah. I mean,
you basically pulled the phoenix. I mean, what is transfiguration besides, you know, that has everything to do with
rebirth,
phoenix?
Really. Wow, that's really interesting. It's crazy.
you pulled the phoenix, basically. I mean, that's, whether you call it the Singer Transfiguration or something else, that's the same essence of both images.
God.
That's exactly what you pulled. And I think it's important that you've pulled it. I mean, not just the matter of it being a symbol to you, but obviously it sounds like it's a very personal symbol to you. Otherwise, I don't think you would have pulled it up just because it's matching or something like
that.
You know what I mean?
It's cool looking. Yeah.
Right.
It's
look how close. It seems, you know, it seems it's very important to you. That's your last card. It's, like I said, it parallels the Singer of Healing. It's right next to the Friends. This signifies to me, and I think all your readers by now are like, I know, you know. You know, this is obviously a time of change where you're going to come through this reborn into this way that you weren't expecting.
How about that? The final card I pull is the Phoenix. Again, check out that final card in the bottom row, and you'll see how the Singer of Transfiguration looks just like my Phoenix logo. Some of you know why the Phoenix is an important symbol for me. I've adopted the Phoenix after a near-death experience I had a few years ago, but that's for a whole other podcast. So, what do you think? Was my reading a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, or is there something truly profound happening? I believe you have to experience this firsthand. Those familiar with my blog know I am a healthy skeptic, but personally, Melissa hit on some key things that I was dealing with at that exact moment. In fact, the day after my reading, I got a call telling me that I was being offered the dream job that I had been interviewing for after being laid off in early April. Is this the jumping off point that came up in my reading? I believe no one else can answer those questions but me. I assure you, Melissa was a complete stranger until we met for our interview. But by the end, I felt she got a really close-up and personal look into the real me. I felt bare naked sitting there, holding my seven cards and listening to her. I found her genuine, and I believe she really does truly care about those she reads. You can get a free sample reading and learn more about Melissa on AvalonOracle.com. Check it out. Also, don't forget to get a copy of Lon Cohen's novel, Erosion. Our fellow blogger writes an incredible tale of murder and myth, and it will captivate you from page one. Go to my site, jray.blogspot.com, for more information. And don't forget my Phoenix Podcast hotline. You'll find that also on my blog. Call, leave me a message or a criticism or whatever you want, and I'll make you a part of the next show. As always, thank you so much for listening to the Phoenix Podcast, where science is definitely stranger than fiction. Until next time, take care. Phoenix out.